The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, episode 295 of the Columbia Calling podcast. Thank you to all of those of you out there who've been writing in to suggest people or themes or topics for episode 300, the elusive 300 that's only a few weeks away. My guest on this episode 295 has been on the show twice before, once talking coffee, once talking protests in southwestern Colombia. His name is Ervin Liz. He's from Cauca. And this time, we'll be talking really about how travel and how experiences overseas have opened the mind of one young Colombian and how others can benefit from experiences like his overseas. So this is a young man from Cauca who had previously to leaving Colombia for Norway had never been to Bogota and had never been on an airplane. So just imagine how travel can open your mind. I know it sounds cliched, but it is the truth. And to hear it from a different perspective, a young man from Cauca, who now is an incredibly successful coffee producer in Cauca himself. So we will be talking to Ervin in segment 3 of the Columbia Calling podcast. Right now, I'll leave you in the capable hands of Adrian Alsema, who is in Medellin, and he will be discussing and delivering the news from Colombia to you this week. So without further ado, this will be Adrian Alsema, and don't go away. We'll be back with segment 3 and Ervin Liz talking about his travel experiences and scholarships which took him overseas. So thank you again. Bye-bye.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Columbia Calling for October 15, 2019. The Supreme Court decision to formalize a criminal investigation against former President Álvaro Uribe has increased tensions in Colombia. Uribe and his allies have been trying to politicize the case and radicalize the former president's supporters. One journalist received death threats after senators of Uribe's far-right party accused her of supporting anti-Uribe protests. The Press Freedom Foundation was accused of being part of the propaganda machine of the FARC, the political party of demobilized guerrillas. Uribe's fixer left Colombia after the acting prosecutor general hinted he could be arrested soon. Self-proclaimed gangster attorney Diego Cadena told media from Miami he will continue to cooperate with justice in the multiple criminal investigations against him. Cadena is suspected of being key in the alleged bribery of witnesses in the case against Uribe. Alleged neo-Nazis attacked the offices of 3 leftist parties in Bogotá. In the shared office of the Communist Party and the Patriotic Union, a firebomb was found. The FARC said that their office was ransacked. The attacks took place little more than 2 weeks before local elections are held in Colombia. Students and teachers organized mass marches throughout Colombia to demand investment in education and reject police brutality. The marches were largely peaceful, with the exception of Bogota, where a small group of rioters attacked police. Vandals attacked the campaign office of governor candidate Elsa Nogueira in Barranquilla. President Ivan Duque took the opportunity to reject the violence and ignore the students' demands. Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno accused dissident FARC guerrillas of taking part in violent protests that followed his decision to abolish fuel subsidies. This claim was rejected by indigenous organizations that were leading the initial peaceful protests. Colombia's foreign minister said he had no information that would confirm Moreno's claim. The FARC expelled its former political leader, Ivan Marquez, and a dozen other former guerrilla commanders from the party. The decision followed Marquez's announcement that he would form a new guerrilla group. According to the FARC, the rearmament announcement disregards our national leadership and all political guidelines and disciplinary principles. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
And we're back. This is the third segment of episode 295 of the Colombia Calling podcast. Thank you for staying tuned in. I know sometimes it can get a little bit tiresome, but of course, we come back every week here in Colombia Calling with someone else interesting who's got something to say or something to share about Colombia. Colombia is the lens by which we can have these conversations and keep informing you all about what's going on here or what is going to go on here. And it's a great pleasure of mine to invite back Ervin Liz, who's been on the show twice before, once talking coffee, once talking protests, but we won't go into those. He's here in a different role today. He is the president of the Colombian National Committee for the United World College, and we're going to talk about that and the opportunities that it's giving for Colombians to study overseas. It sounds like a really incredible opportunity for scholarships, part scholarships, or just opening the door for students who perhaps wouldn't have thought about traveling overseas and so on. And Ervin, of course, went through this himself. So welcome back on Colombia Calling.
Thank you, Richard, very much.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Ervin. Now, let's start at the very beginning here. You were a student in Cauca, in Tierra Adentro.
That's right.
This is where you grew up in this amazing part of the country. You were finishing school around age 15 or 16, and you found out about this potential opportunity to go and study overseas for 2 years. How did this happen?
Right. So I have said that this before, but again, I grew up in the mountains of Tierra Adentro. We didn't have road or electricity until 2003. And back in when I was young, I would go to primary school by foot, walking about an hour and a half from home and all that kind of stuff. So in 2010, I was still in the countryside. By then, we already had a car that would take us to the school. So we had improved. but my sister was looking for a scholarship for herself, and she found out about the United World College, which is still called in Colombia Comundo, Asociación de los Colegios del Mundo Unido. Mm-hmm. And basically, she told me, Ervin, there is this opportunity. Why don't you go ahead and apply? And I said, sure, why not? And so I applied. And you know, we didn't have much access to technology. So we barely had, some internet access. So my sister did help me a lot with doing all of the paperwork and that kind of thing. Because I didn't even have Facebook in 2010. I didn't know how to do it or email. And but we managed to send applications to do all of the evaluation process, and eventually I was selected to go to study in Norway.
And you chose Norway, or how does this work? You said, I want to go to the furthest, most strange place for someone from Tierra Adentro and Cauca.
Right. So there are right now 18 schools around the world. They are all affiliated to UWC, and they are all named UWC, and then a name follows. Mm-hmm. And basically, how it works is that a national committee, and by the way, there are 155 national committees all over the world, told, select the students in the case of Colombia can say where they would like to go. They cannot choose, but they can say where they would like to go. And eventually the national committee, depending on the financial need, depending on different, on different, circumstances criteria, they decide to nominate you to a specific high school, and then the high school is the one that ultimately decides whether they will like you to be at their school. So then I did say at some point that I wanted to go to Norway because I had seen the pictures, and then eventually I did get nominated to Norway, and then I was accepted, which is how I ended up there.
I mean, Norway is it's a pretty extreme change.
Quite indeed.
Obviously the image of everyone being tall, blue-eyed and blonde-haired. Is this true? Is this the image you went to Norway with as well?
Yes, that's pretty much the image I went to Norway with. And then I realized that it's actually more to Norway than that. There is lots of refugees. I actually did volunteer in several occasions to go and do different activities with refugees, especially from Africa and some from the Middle East. But yes, that's pretty much how I thought it was going to be. And then, of course, the expectations were a little bit different than what the reality was.
This is good. So this United World College, then, it's this opportunity to go and study abroad, this opportunity to open doors. What it seems like, and I think you'll explain this now, that it's been set up to enable students from all over the world to study together. So it's a full embrace of a learning, international learning circle. I mean, what does it base its sort of methodology around?
That's right. So the mission of UWC, it's basically to bring people together from all socioeconomic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. It intends to have from the richest student all the way to the student that cannot even, pay for a visa or even get to the capital city of their home country, as well as students who come from, from different religious backgrounds, who have different political views. And the idea is to bring them together to study so that through education, they can reach an international understanding. And eventually, of course, that will lead to peace, which is the second very important value that we have in UWC. That's basically what it intends to do.
So international understanding and education, education towards peace,
right?
And the third one would be
environmental sustainability. There is a great emphasis on that because it sounds cliche, but we only have a single planet, and so we have to take care of it. And if we do get to understand, it's important to understand that in every high school there is a representation from at least 85 different countries.
Wow.
So then when you have people from pretty much all of the continents studying together, you get to know the different problems that affect them at different levels, and so you become more aware about your choices. And I think that's where the real change comes from, because if you understand that what you are doing is perhaps not the best thing, then you try to influence your surroundings so that the world may change. And of course, the change doesn't come right away. UWC was founded in 1962. It's still working towards those very goals, and there is still much to do.
I mean, really fascinating to be exposed to people from 85 different countries, in a high school. So you were there from the ages of 16 to 18, so 2010 to 2012. And, for those of you who have not tuned in to all of the Columbia Calling podcasts, I understand, we're 295, there's a few of them now. Ervin comes from Tierra Adentro. He's of the Nasa people.
That's right.
And, you know, this is, you know, representing Colombia, of course. But let's talk about this. So, how you, as Ervin, learned from this experience, and, you know, how this experience, those 2 years in Norway, have shaped you today. You're working very much trying to help your community. You know, you've got the coffee roasters, the money's going back. Would you say that the values that you are, you know, obviously displaying now, and I can't remember, you're still very young, you know, the values that you are displaying now were instilled in you by UWC, the education there?
By the experience overall, yes, I will definitely say so. And I will say probably, I mean, there are so many takes that you can bring with you when you are living with that many people, learning from so many experiences, understanding so many issues, and sharing your own. And the biggest take is one thing that one of my professors told me one time, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you had, he said to me, you know, you had this privilege to be here. And basically, when you receive something, you have to be ready to give back, to give back one way or another. And so I always took that with me, and I really took it to heart. And so when I was in the U.S. about to graduate, and I was about to start my company, my coffee exporting, coffee selling company. The idea that I had in my head was, I want to do something for myself, of course, because you need to make a living, right? But I didn't want it to just do anything. I wanted to do something that would have an impact in my community. And so, because I grew up in a coffee farming community, very far away from everything, I decided to do something in coffee because I knew that's how I would help in a more direct manner. And so, yes, pretty much all of the values that I carry with me today that I use in my everyday business doing and other endeavors, I will say I acquired them from UWC.
There we go. I like to hear that. It's a technique. Before we move on to how UWC opens the door to, you know, various universities, a lot in the US, of course, but 85 different nationalities under one roof. Was there must have been conflicts. I mean, come on, you know, geopolitical history just tells us there's
conflict
between
some. Right. So that's precisely what the founder Kurt Hahn, he was a German, was trying to do. His intention was to bring people who were so different from one another to a place so that they could learn from one another and realize that there is actually no need for conflict. Even it doesn't matter how different you are. Now, of course, there is a conflict here and there, and that will always happen, but nothing to the level where you know, you will be having physical aggression or you know, maybe insults or that kind of thing. That never happened.
Oh, wow.
Because that's precisely the mission of the school, is to bring people together and help them realize that the differences are to be celebrated, not just respected, but to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that in mind, that you can actually celebrate someone's difference, the way they think, the way they look, the way they do things, and the way they go about life, mm-hmm. Then you create basically a peace and respect for one another. And so there is no need for conflict. At least in the time that I was in there, I never really got to see anything in particular.
Wow. And of course, the language of teaching is English.
Right.
How was your English before you went?
Very good question.
Yeah. You speak better than a lot of politicians.
Well, the answer is I did not know anything. It was very challenging. So it was very challenging for many reasons, but So to start with, I had never been on an airplane before going to Norway. I had never been on an airplane. I had not even been to Bogota. And so I did not know how an airport looked like. Never been on inside an airplane, anything like that. But what I did have that I was lacking everything else of was lots of enthusiasm, lots of desire to get to know something different and to do something different, and just lots of curiosity overall. And so even though I did not know any English, I managed to get to Norway, and I did feel lost at some point, but I made it, and it was a fun experience. So here is an anecdote that I can tell from when I just arrived in Norway. This one person reaches out to me and she says, "Erwin, how are you?" And so I of course did not know what that meant. And so I just said whatever came to my head, and that was, "I am from Colombia." and that was my level of English. It was very difficult at first because all of the classes were in English, all of the interaction with the other students, of course, was in English. But in 3 months, I was able to pretty much pin it down and start understanding and start reading and start, comprehending everything in English. In 3 months,
amazing.
Yes.
Now, so you'd never been on a plane, you'd never been to Bogota, and you're getting on a plane and in Bogota to go to Norway. This is
right.
A big deal. Age 16.
Yeah, yes.
This is a big deal. I mean, really huge.
Yes, some people say that, I'm a risk taker. They would have not done that because they didn't know anything. But I perhaps had some fear, but I had a lot more enthusiasm and a lot more curiosity than I did have here.
Why did your sister, look this up, find a thing saying, I think you should go and study over here, or there's this opportunity? Why did she do this?
Right. So it's also important to notice that we are 5 children in my family, and 4 of us have been able to study abroad. Mm-hmm. And so by that time, one of my sisters had already gone to study in Oregon in the U.S. and mm-hmm. had already come back. And so my sister was looking for something for herself, and then she found this opportunity. She told me, and then I applied, and I think all of this came out from my parents. They were always, they were farmers. They just made 5th grade of primary school, but they were always looking to see how they could change the future and see how they could influence their children so that they had a mindset of abundance and a mindset of curiosity and of doing something different, more than what they had done in their lifetime. So I guess that's where it came from.
Just greater opportunities.
Right.
You might be the most international family in Colombia, though. Well, anywhere. 4
Yes.
So 4 of you studied abroad. Which one didn't?
The one in the middle. She's is a girl. She
she regrets?
She really wants to go out to go abroad. She's not been abroad yet. Mm-hmm. She really wants to do so, and she's looking for opportunities right now, actually, to do that. And I'm pretty sure she will eventually do it.
I think so. It seems to be
Yes.
So this is amazing. It's a really nice story. This is coming out. But so after Norway, we're looking at 2012. But the next logical step was university, and UWC, the United World College, opens the door for opportunities, and you ended up at Luther College in Iowa.
Yes.
You chose Luther College in Iowa.
Yes.
It's a small college, right?
It's a small college, yeah. Yes. It's a very tiny college in Iowa, in Decorah, Iowa. So every UWC has an office. It's called the University Counseling Office. And basically, they help you applying at universities wherever you want. So if you want to return home and the university at your home country, you can do that. In the U.S., however, there is a scholarship funded by by this person, his name is Shelby Davis, and he basically gives money for UWC students to go and study at universities in the U.S. Mm. So there are very many universities affiliated to this program, including of course the top universities. All of the Ivy League schools are included in there, and so the UWCs do encourage you a lot to go to the U.S. because there is that opportunity, but in the end, it's you who make the choice. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to different schools in the U.S., and then I decided to go to Luther, mainly because it was it had lots of history with Norway. There is lots of Norwegians in that region, actually. Yeah. Or I don't know if you could say former Norwegians or immigrants from Norway. So I really like Norway. Norway is a fantastic place. So I wanted to just kind of like continue with that same maybe culture, maybe way of living, kind of like the countryside, not too much noise, not too many things happening, the way they will happen in a city. Yeah. And so that's basically why I decided to go to Luther.
It's so interesting that Norway influenced you so much. You wanted to go where Norwegian immigrants.
Yes.
I know that Wisconsin is a lot, and
yes.
Iowa then.
Yeah, Minnesota also has a lot. Yeah.
All those areas. And of course, they're the only people who can survive the winter.
Yes. They're very cold winters.
So, I mean, really, this school, United World College, this entity has really given you, and well, of course, you worked hard for it, but it's really given you this, you know, a pathway in life and made you an international citizen. And now you are the president of the Colombian National Committee for the United World College, and you are therefore in charge of going through all the applications from Colombians who want to go and study at UWC.
That's right. So the national committee is made up of different members. We have a good number of volunteers. So it's not just me, of course. Mm-hmm. I will never finish doing that. All of those applications.
Well, there's about 400 applications?
Yes, there were 400 applicants. Of that, the ones that continued to the next step or that were eligible for the next step were 200. And then from there, we will select 60 students to go to the campamento, which is basically a weekend retreat at the YMCA in Santandercito. For those who don't know where that is, that's a little bit further from the Tequendama. And if you don't know where that is, then Google it. So basically, we will be there doing a series of activities where we evaluate different skills from the students. And then from there, we will select a number to go to the interviews. And then after the interviews, they have a psychological assessment. And finally, then they get, we will be selecting 14, which is the number of spots that we have this year between full scholarships and partial scholarships. And then the students will be nominated to the different schools that have given these spots. Yes, for the students, and then of course the school in the end will be the one making the decision whether they accept the nomination or not. But that's basically how it is.
A big responsibility.
To
whittle it down to 14 people. And well, I can understand the psychological evaluations in some of the places that I've worked in the past. We had to do them, especially if there was travel involved. Because
right.
When I organized social projects in South America and students would come up, we had to have them have interviews.
Right.
Because you don't want them to find it too hard and go home.
Right, exactly. And so, that's one of the biggest perhaps concerns that we always have, which is, how can we figure out, if this student is going to be resilient enough to be there? Because even if you do follow a very strict process, because, and I say this because when we evaluate students, we have guidelines. We have a number of criteria that we use to to guide our decision making. You know, we don't just decide, you know, this person is good and that person is not good. We do follow a criteria. But even though there are situations where the students do return home, and so it's a very challenging thing. We do, of course, take it very seriously, and we do our best. But yeah, it is difficult. It is not an easy task.
No, you can't get everyone right. People who are very good at interviews and are very
right.
good at it, and they know how to play these things.
Exactly. They are very good at answering questions. Mm-hmm. And in the end, you know, they show up, they show who they really are, and then, exactly. So.
Oh, wow. And so tell us a little bit about this. I mean, in case there are any future possible, you know, students or applicants for UWC, when are application deadlines? How can people find these opportunities?
Right. So, well, first of all of the information about UWC is at the UWC National Committee website. It's at co.uwc.org. Richard is going to put the link on the show notes. So the applications open every year. Initially, they were opening in June. This year, we started in May. So we have two steps before, well, actually one step before the actual application is called the pre-application, which is the first screen where we verify if you have the right age and if you are an actual Colombian national, because you know there are people who do not have a Colombian citizenship, so we cannot do the process with them if they don't have the proper paperwork. So then it opens, the pre-applications opened this year in May. I'm going to say that next year we're probably going to open it at the same time, and then the applications are open all the way through the end of August. Mm-hmm. So the people can send the full application by August, and then we, from August to about October 15-16, we read those applications. We select the 60 students that are going to go to the weekend retreat, and then they are notified, and then the weekend retreat always happens on the first 3 days or the first weekend of the month of November.
So it's coming up.
Yes, it's coming up. Yeah. So this year is going to be the first, the second, and the third, actually, which just...
What kind of tests do you have for them out there in Santandercito?
Well, it's actually not tests. Uh-huh. It's different. It's we have different activities. Most of these activities involve them interacting and working together to solve different problems. Mm-hmm. You know, we have things like puzzles. We have things like like doing presentations. We have things like, in general, just kind of like working together. And
it's not like the boot camp for the Marines.
No, it's not like that. So, yeah, so the students don't actually go and get tested in any particular subject, because what we have realized is that it doesn't matter where you are in your academics. Once you get to UWC, you have all of the resources and all of the opportunity to catch up and to have a very good academic
let's just call them opportunities, academic criteria.
Performance. Yeah, they will have a good academic performance. But then, of course, the academics is an important part. So they do have to have strong academics in Colombia, of course. Mm-hmm. But at the weekend retreat, they don't get tested on anything in particular like that. So what we're trying to see in the weekend retreat is things like resilience, things like their ability to be independent. Mm-hmm. Iniciativa propia, which I just forgot in English.
Initiative.
Their ability to live in a country that is not their own, alone, pretty much. Their ability to understand other people that are different from them. Because so what we have in here is in Colombia is even just within Colombia, when they are just applying. There is a huge representation from all over this, all the socioeconomic backgrounds. We have students from Estrato 6 all the way to Estrato 1, and almost all of the departments are also represented during the applications and at the campamento. And so, just being in that situation, being able to, you know, somebody from Estrato 1, being able to understand somebody from Estrato 6 and so on. And of course, we have different religions just within that campamento. So what we're trying to see is how willing and how flexible they are with these differences, because that's going to be something very important, something key once they get to UWC, because they're going to be with people from all over the world, all the religions, all of the sexual orientation, etc.
What I like about this, well, from your personal experience, is that you decided in the end, I'm going to come back to Colombia with this knowledge to make a difference, you know, in my community. Sometimes there's the fear, of course, that these people will learn everything and leave, you know,
right,
off to a different country. But would you say, for the most part, people who sign up for this, you know, in particular from Colombia, are more interested in bringing their knowledge back to Colombia?
I think from when it comes to Colombia, it's a little bit different, because many people see Colombia more of a problematic country, I will say. And I think this is not just the students from UWC. This is Colombians in general. You know, if you ask most Colombians, they don't want to be in Colombia. They want to go to the US or somewhere like that, which is really sad. It really saddens me a lot. Of course, it's not everybody, but a great number do that. Now, here is the thing. Most of the people that go to UWC, they end up going through lots of academic programs. And so we don't have a great number of students or alumni from UWC now in Colombia, but it's in some cases because some of them have jobs abroad, but in some cases it's because they are doing some kind of academic program, whether it be masters or doctors or you know, some kind of specialization, things like that. In general, I actually will need to check what percentage of students of alumni are in Colombia and what percentage are abroad, but if I'm not wrong, most of them are abroad.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, but I just see this as being a really, really amazing opportunity for Colombia. You know, not just the students that go overseas, but Colombia.
Right.
Because, and this country has been really rather isolated for a long time. And,
right.
And there are regions of the country which remain incredibly isolated, and to be able to open those up a bit is
right.
And you know, it just opens dialogue, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think that's something that's incredibly necessary with Colombia.
Absolutely.
You don't get, let's say, Strato 1 discussing too much with Strato 6. It's usually only on a commercial basis.
Right.
Interaction of a sale or something like that.
Right.
Or Strato 6 talking to the cleaning lady from Strato 1. But you
exactly.
don't have a proper meeting as equals.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this gives us an opportunity.
And this is just that opportunity. And so many, exactly. And so many of the students who participate at the selection process, even if they do not get selected, they go home with the idea in their head that they can actually get to understand the other person regardless of where they come from, and that it is possible, because most people see it as an impossible thing. You know, they don't think you could possibly interact or perhaps have a decent conversation with somebody who is from a different class, strato or religion or race even. So the students do go home with something in their head that is doing perhaps even just a little change in their own communities.
Well, very, very exciting and very upbeat. A real opportunity. If there are any, you know, people who are eligible for this out there, you know, Colombian students, and even if you're an international student, go through your country's chapter.
Right. Or if this is, you know, I don't know how many how many listeners you have, children of ambassadors or things like that, or people like that, people who have lived in so many countries that they, it's very hard for them to go back to their mm-hmm. original home country per se. They can actually go through a resource that UWC has. It's called the I just forgot. it's called the
It's on the website.
It's on the web. Yeah, let's just say that it's gonna be on the show notes.
there is a
resource where if you are not a Colombian national but you still want to apply, you can apply directly to a specific school. You do need to have the resources to do that. Mm. That would mean that you will be paying the full tuition. But there is a way to do it. Even if you are not a Colombian national.
Excellent. Well, so, for Colombians, that's co.uwc.org. It sounds so interesting. Were I not the age I am today, more responsibility that I have, this is the sort of thing I would have looked for, definitely. Definitely.
Yes.
I love this kind
It's a life-changing opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
For everyone.
And you look at what you've done and been able to achieve in your, it's just incredible, and how lucky you are that your sister found this for you and helped you with it. And it's a defining moment in your life. So let me just say thank you, Irvin, for coming back this third time on Columbia Calling to talk again. You've talked about coffee, you've talked about protests, and now you're talking about education and international education. Thank you again for wanting to share, this knowledge and talk to us here on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me again.
You're welcome. Now, don't forget, folks, if you do need some coffee, check out the Colombian Coffee Connection. That's
.com.
.com, coffeeconnection.com, website's up there. Buy your coffee there, and Irvin does ship overseas as well, so you can find
yes. There is roasters selling my coffee in the US as well, so if you're in the US, go ahead and check the website and send me a message.
So thank you again to Irvin Liz for being on the Columbia Calling Podcast, episode 295 this week. I put out an ask on Facebook to those people to start thinking about what should I and who should I invite for episode 300. So that's 5 weeks from now. episode 300. I'm still taking advice and suggestions. So keep them coming. I've got some ideas in my head, but as yet nothing is firmed up. Thank you again. I've been Richard Lacombe. This has been Columbia Calling, episode 295, and we'll be back next week. Bye bye.